can dream and be the future of change. You can do anything.
Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a national nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Hey guys, I'm going to interrupt myself for just a moment to give you a heads up. When we were editing this episode in post, we realized that there were some audio quality issues. We tried our best to clean them up, but you will still hear some of them throughout this episode. So I just wanted to take a second to let you know that we apologize and we will always do our best to bring you the highest quality content. Now, back to the lunchroom. I can hardly wait to talk to today's guest. She has a unique history with communities and schools, starting out as a CIS student and then becoming a site coordinator. Since then, she has been involved in some very cool new projects, including taking on the role of Miss Heart of the Midwest and starting her own television talk show. Stay tuned as we welcome Macy Johnson to the lunchroom. Hello, Macy. Welcome to the lunchroom. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. I'm feeling excited to be here.
Tell me, how is life?
Well, I think it's great right now. I actually competed at Miss Kansas in June, so I have been living my best life, eating lots of good food.
Yes.
Right now, I'm working at a financial services firm, so I'm getting a lot of experience in the corporate world and gaining new skills. Right now, I'm building up a production company. I've been working with a production team for My American Dream, and I have continued partnerships with KPTS, so we will be filming more of My American Dream coming up shortly, so I'm really excited.
Okay, I want to talk about all of that you just said. So, because people who are listening to this may not know what My American Dream is. So tell us, what exactly is this?
Yes. So My American Dream originated, actually, I started the process of planning it last year. I wanted to have an opportunity to interview people who came from poverty and have worked their way up to success and prosperity. And so this is something that I want to do anyway. I want to be a television host, and I felt like this would be a great experience for me to gain more skills and then an opportunity to get to know other people's stories and what they've gone through. So I launched it, I believe it was January 12th of this year, and it took off. It started off as a digital media show, something that was just going to be on YouTube, and then it catapulted. The idea was brought to the KPTS Channel 8, which is the PBS affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, the CEO, Victor Hochstrom, and he liked the content. And I was absolutely like, what? What do you mean? So that meant he wanted to pick up about 9 more segments to add on to the Positively Kansas show that is on KPTS. So I was really honored and excited on how that grew so quickly. And now I'm starting to build and add more content to My American Dream Productions now.
And so you just announced your second season and you've got this awesome new intro I've seen. Well, like the logo. It's so pretty. I love it so much. So why don't you take a moment and just kind of plug where people can find your show then?
So easily, you can just go YouTube and type in My American Dream. You'll probably see it pop up with Macy Johnson. I have the first 3 episodes with Teen View on there. But if you want to watch the segments that were produced by KPTS's production team, you can go to Positively Kansas on YouTube. And literally, it will be a part of the Positively Kansas segment. And you'll see this episode is brought to you by My American Dream, blah, 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 blah. So it's pretty simple. It's on YouTube.
And so have you already started recording your second season?
I have not yet. Not yet.
Do you have any exciting guests planned?
Well, everything is actually kind of sped up and kind of rushed last minute, yeah. But I'm really excited because I want to expand my network when it comes to interviewing people and grow for the second season. I kind of interview people that I already kind of knew. Some of the stories right. were fairly things that I kind of already knew about, but you know, this time I really want to go to those like rural counties and like meet new people and find new stories. So that's my goal for the second season.
Yeah.
What I'm doing with My American Dream Productions is kind of expanding. Instead of just working in Kansas, I want to start interviewing people from across the country now.
And does that work well with what you do with communities and schools as your advocate piece? Can you make those work together?
That would be very cool to do. I would love to. I would love to talk to a few alum I've met so many cool CIS alum that are doing amazing things. For example, James, he's a CIS alum of Texas, and he's already worked at Capitol Hill. I mean, he is a wonderful speaker, and I would love to interview several of these alum just because they have great stories. So if I could do that, I would love to. I just have to organize it.
Well, and then did you catch the big announcement that CIS National made this week about the new board member?
I did. Shaquille O'Neal.
So that might be a potential guest for your show in the future. I know I would love to bring him on the podcast.
That would be really good. I think it would be great to speak with him just because you think, okay, so why communities and schools? Out of all of these nonprofits out here, why do you choose us?
Exactly.
Why do you resonate with our mission? And I feel like that, especially with all of the national board members, because, you know, they chose us for a reason. And I love to know, like, what the story is behind it.
Well, so that actually leads me to something else, because I was checking out your website earlier, MacyJohnson.com, if anyone wants to go check her out for more information. And it reminded me, and I don't know how I forgot this. I think it's just because I get so busy. But you totally did something with Sterling K. Brown. So, you know, way to be name dropping a little bit more. But I have not talked to you about this experience yet. So please tell me everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, I'm one of the spokespeople for communities and schools as an alum, which I think is awesome. So they know a little bit of my strengths, what I love to do. And they invited me to go to Los Angeles with Funny or Die Productions and film this national PSA that was going to be coming out. And they brought on Sterling K. Brown. And nice. When I was asked about it, I actually did not know who Sterling K. Brown was. So I had to go back and like do research. I was like, who is
he? Dude, same. And I feel so bad because he is such a big deal. And people look at me like I'm nuts because I didn't know who he was. But same, I didn't.
Literally, it was. And when we were doing the filming and everything, this was right next to the OWN studios, right next to Oprah Winfrey's like place of work. And I was like, I'm
Did
trying
you, like,
to
touch
be
the door.
Oprah. I literally was.
Yeah, like go up to the door handle of Oprah's show and be like, Oprah's touched this door handle.
Honestly, but I mean, everything was really fun. It was really professional. And you'd think like, ugh, celebrities have like paparazzis. They've got an entourage. But when he walked in, I mean, it was very genuine. He was very down to earth. And we had a lot of fun. The director had a lot of fun. And I was like, oh man, I wish I could do this another time. But it was so much fun.
It was hilarious. And I loved all of the sharing that I saw. All of the different communities and schools affiliates all throughout the nation doing. It was just so much fun. And honestly, it was so unexpected. And I want to know what was Sterling's story? You know, what made him decide to connect with us and to play that role with us?
That's another question I would love to know. Like, why us? You know, why do you like our mission?
Right. Yeah. So we should definitely delve a little bit more into why you have done so much work with us. You mentioned that you are an alum, so I kind of want to switch gears a little bit and get a little bit deep and talk a little bit about your story and specifically what it was like growing up and what led you to connect with communities and schools that very first time.
Yeah, so growing up, I had a single mom, so my father was never really in my life. He was an alcoholic, in and out of prison. So I never really had that connection with him, but my grandmother was essentially that safe haven for our family. So there were a lot of times where eviction notices were there. We would rely on going to school for food a lot of times. We never really bought our own clothes. We'd borrow them or something like that. And up until going into high school, my grandmother passed away when I was 16 years old. Right after that, I felt that's when there was a whole shift in life. CIS was new to the high school at the time. I was getting ready to be a senior, and there was like another poverty crisis happening. The lights were turned off, utilities were disconnected, rent was due, and we had basically 1 week to pay it or we were going to be kicked out. And this time, we didn't have my grandmother there to be that safe haven. We didn't have a backbone or anything, so we had to figure it out. And I just couldn't sit around and not say anything because I was always too embarrassed to say what I was going through. And so there was one day I was like, I told my cheer coach, I said, hey, this is what's going on. This is what has been happening. And I honestly don't know what to do. I see my mom struggling and I want to be able to do something. And so she's like, okay, let me talk to some faculty. Let me see what I can do. So she talked to my counselor. Then my counselor referred me over to the newest CIS site coordinator there. Her name was Morgan Norwood. And when I spoke with her, I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure, like, I don't know, can I trust you? But then like, as we kept talking, we kept meeting every single week. She started, you know, thinking about what she could do to make that school year better for me so that I could focus on graduating from high school. So she helped eliminate the rent that was overdue. In addition, she sponsored me for Christmas. She wanted to help me just further my goals and what she could do for me past graduating. And I started to recognize, oh, wow, this person really does care for me. Like I never really knew a stranger could do that. And after I graduated, I said, people need to know about what this organization is because people had no idea what this program offered. And they helped me with so much. And I think that sparked I think that was the start of my CIS story, and now it continues to travel as an alum now.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about some of your history that is more recent, but I do want to ask you a few more questions about what it was like with your CIS site coordinator. So on one side, have you ever thought about what your life would be like if you had never met Morgan?
I do. I think about what if I never that one time I never said anything to my cheer coach or because that was the start of me being able to meet her. And if I never would have stepped up to be able to help my mom, you know, like a lot of those questions come in my head. Would I be as independent? Would I be as, you know, strong as I am now? Or would I just, you know, have fallen through the cracks? Would I have graduated? Mm-hmm. Those are like questions that come into my head. And I'm like, where would I be? I ask myself now if CIS was not a part of my life. Like, I feel like it's a part of who I am now.
It is, and it's true. And we will definitely talk more about that and about all the different ways in which CIS is intertwined in your life because it's really awesome. But before we move on to that, I want to ask, what are some of your favorite memories of working with Morgan?
Oh my gosh. So there was a time she asked me, okay, so what can I do to like help you like throughout the school week? And I was like, I want to create a dance club. Like I legitimately, it was really funny, but she was really like down and determined. She was like, okay, so let me talk to some people because Morgan, she was a dance teacher at a dance studio. So it all made sense. So she had connections with, you know, these people and that people. And we put together a dance club for a couple of, you know, high school students and they would come every week and they'd come and dance. And it was a lot of fun because at the time I thought I was going to do musical theater. So I really wanted to get more practice with it.
Yeah.
Obviously things have changed, but it was still really thoughtful of her to do that.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you like this totally random question as we just sort of jump around. So what was your talent as you were doing, like participating in the Miss Kansas pageant and whatnot?
Right. So I began pageants back when I was 17. So this was the same year all of the crisis happened. I was introduced to CIS. That year I decided to compete for Miss Kansas for the first time. Mm-hmm. And of course I was singing. I sang At Last for that very first year.
So no dancing.
Yeah, there was no dancing. I was never a professional dancer, but I liked to do it for fun. Like I did show choir and musicals and like that type of dancing, but not professionally. Like that's next level.
Oh, okay. But at the same time, like talking about next level, like At Last is fairly next level for a song to sing. My goodness.
I know, that's probably why I didn't make top 10 that year.
Oh, I love that song, though.
I loved it. I don't regret one thing. I loved it. But that year, like, I remember, yeah. I was like, I won Miss Pioneer at Leavenworth High. I can do this at Miss Kansas. And no,
No, no.
It's kind of fun to share, but it's fine.
So I don't know really the timeline of, and I guess they kind of probably run next to each other in regards to, and I'm sorry, are they called pageants or are they called something else?
Well, the Miss America organization is labeled as a scholarship pageant. So it's all based on scholarship and education.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm calling them the correct terminology. So I know that you have this pretty impressive storyline regarding your history with pageants, but I also know that you became a site coordinator, correct?
Right.
So tell me more about that, and feel free to intertwine your pageant work in with that, because I feel like those two timelines probably run alongside each other.
Yeah. So like I said, when I graduated, there was something that was ignited that people should know about what CIS is. And my first year of competing, I decided to make it my platform, which is like a cause or some sort of nonprofit that you want to give back to, or, you know, something that you champion. And I knew off the bat that I wanted that to be my platform. And so as I started, you know, doing Miss Kansas the first year, I was like, I really have a passion for this. So the second year, I became kind of like a spokesperson for CIS Mid-America, and I did a really cool video where I got to share my story about, you know, what I had gone through growing up, and I shared how my father was for the first time. And I mean, I really got to share a lot of personal things for the first time. And I think it was shortly after that, I was offered it was a part-time site coordinator position at Leavenworth High, where I graduated from. And I was like super stoked, like, wow, how cool would it be to work, you know, on the other side, serving the students, you know, bagging up food for the same program that once served me with food bags. I mean, it was just mind blowing. And I think just with my experience as a site coordinator, doing the food bags was probably the most impactful for me. Like, I looked forward to doing it because I knew people relied on it, you know, at home for, you know, during the weekends. And then there was a community resource night that I was able to put together myself, and it came out so amazing. It was during parent teacher conferences, and I was so excited that I was able to bring in all of these sponsors, brought in food so that, you know, parents could know what CIS is. And I was just so proud of being able to do that. And it all intertwined with what I was doing at Miss Kansas. And so that year, I believe I was second place for the Quality of Life Award, which is basically the Community Service Award. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, I was like, I'm a rookie. Like, I'm not. So I knew I was doing something right.
But that was your platform that you titled Poverty to Prosperity.
Right.
Correct?
And what I did, as the years have gone on, it developed, and I became a national spokesperson for communities and schools. So I had, you know, an opportunity to impact people on a national level. And this past year at Miss Kansas, I was able to receive the Miss America Service Award and then the first place Quality of Life Award. So I had the honor in all regards for service, for all that I've been able to do for CIS. So I was like, yes, yes. That was like $5,000.
That's so exciting. I didn't know that. Oh my goodness. Well, congrats, Macy. That's
thanks.
So amazing.
I mean, it was a lot of work. I mean, it was all combined with the work that I did with my show and the things I was able to do, you know, with Sterling K. Brown and things I was able to do with on Capitol Hill. I mean, it was so awesome.
So are there more pageants in your future?
I do. I think so. Right now, I don't know. I'm just kind of like trying to breathe right now. There's been a lot of changes with Miss America. Yes. They took out the swimsuit competition. So I'm trying to evaluate, you know, how I'm going to approach competing again. You know, everything has changed. So we'll see.
Cool. Well, you know, we've got your back if you do decide to.
Honestly, like, I like to tell people, and this is something that I've learned. I actually learned this. This was, I think, in April when I went to DC, and there were other CIS alum there. And it's so amazing, I think, to meet them. And I'm so excited that they added that a part of what CIS is. Because there's an alumni leadership committee that you can be a part of after you graduate. And a lot of people don't speak on that and all that it's doing for the alum. And what I love to tell people about what differentiates CIS from any other program in America is that like, you don't just get dropped off after you graduate. I mean, you stay a part of the family. They present you with opportunities to better yourself. I mean, what organization will provide you with job opportunities? You know, things like that. It's just like, I've never come across an organization that's done that. And I mean, I Snapchat all of these people. I mean, I'm pretty sure every day. And who knew that this one particular person, a site coordinator, changed the whole narrative of who I am. And I just really want to express how awesome the Alumni Leadership Network is.
Ah, very nice. That is an awesome thing to bring up, because we do have that. We have the Alumni Allies, and that's a really great thing to become a part of. And I know that the reason that we have it is because our site coordinators and this organization as a whole, we genuinely care about the students. And we actually interviewed Melissa Martin, mm-hmm. who you know. She was the first guest of this show. And one of the things that she said in her letter was that we need CIS students because they are the future. And that we believe in them. And that is so true. And that just like, I just went straight to my core, was how much we rely on CIS students because we believe in them to live their fullest lives and to overcome their barriers and to be everything that they want to be in life. And so it's so amazing to see everybody as they graduate high school and then go on to do all of the things that they want to do in life.
I completely agree. When I had gone to Capitol Hill in April, one of my favorite things that I think I've been able to do for CIS was that moment. I was with Melissa and I was with Kelly, and we were advocating, you know, with our national legislators, sitting in meetings. And it's like this is where the action happens. This is where the change happens. And I had the chance to, you know, share my story and how it's affected me, and to see the looks on the faces of all of those people, and then see Melissa do her right. portion, and then see Kelly do her portion. It's like, wow, this is what we're really doing, and everybody's just making an impact. And it's just so exciting to share that. I just love it.
Well, and you're kind of a big deal, so it's awesome that you continue to go out and to advocate for what we do, and that you believe in us as much as we believe in you. And I cannot express just how awesome it is to know you and to be able to work with you, because you and I have worked on a couple of projects together, and I'm just so proud of everything that I see you do. And every time that you come up with something new or you expand upon something that you are currently working on, I'm just like, yes, you go, girl. And it's just so amazing. You have all of this confidence and power in you, and I am so grateful that you did connect with CIS and that we were there to provide you with the support that you needed at that time. Because now look at you. It's just so awesome.
And I want to like give back. And I always think about it. And now I'm working at like a retirement solutions group, which is, it's a financial firm. And I think about, you know, people, what people are putting in their wills and what they want to put. And I'm like, I know that if I ever pass away, I would want a portion to go to CIS. Like that's already come into my mind, so that I would still be changing someone's life after like I die one day. And I'm sure that's like not anytime soon, but I was like, yes, that would be it.
Girl, you are simply amazing. Okay, so we are going to wrap up that portion of this particular episode. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with a second serving of Letters from the Lunchroom. Show, we ask each guest to write a letter to the students that communities and schools serves. The only guideline that they are given is that it must come from the heart. We also warn them that they will be asked to read their letter aloud during the podcast. Macy, are you ready to read your letter?
I am. To CIS students, I want you to know you are worthy. You have incredible strengths to offer this world. Don't let anyone tell you something you aren't capable of. Many people told me, and always told me, that they would doubt the capabilities that I had, but it always feels good to prove others wrong. I've had the opportunity to meet some incredible CIS alum after I graduated from high school. They have become my biggest supporters as I have worked to accomplish my goals. As you move forward with CIS, you will realize we are one big happy family that wants to see each other do well in life. It doesn't stop. These are lifelong relationships. If it weren't for CIS, I wouldn't have had the speaking skills that I have today. While being a part of the Alumni Leadership Network, I worked with alum from across the nation to improve my professional development skills. I want to be able to see the same passionate students involved with CIS continue those relationships as you get older and graduate. I am proud to share my love for CIS because without them, I know I would have lost my hope for myself a long time ago. Chase your American dream and be the future of change. You can do anything.
I love that. Listening to people read their letters is my absolute favorite part of doing this podcast. So whenever you read that aloud, what is it that you feel?
I feel good. Whenever I speak about CIS, I always get like warm fuzzies on the inside because I know that there are people right now who are involved with CIS who don't know the impact of what CIS is making on their life, if that makes sense. They're experiencing all of the changes. They're recognizing that someone's there for them. They have that trusting adult. They have people pushing them to be the best person that they can be. And they're, you know, if you're born into poverty, you're more likely to drop out of high school. And I'm just so grateful the fact that there was someone there for me, and knowing that there's another person out there for somebody else is so moving and it's so exciting. And I just want to tell people, like, the world is your oyster. Take it on. Like, do whatever it is that you want to do. Don't let anybody stop you.
Oh, I love that. And I was actually going to ask you, what was the most important part of the letter that you hoped students would take away from it? But you just answered that. And you also bring up a really important point. I was just in a meeting earlier today, and they brought up the data point that there are currently 14.5 million students in the United States that are currently living in poverty. So that makes me think of how many students are out there that need a CIS site coordinator to help them, because poverty is no joke.
Right.
Poverty is hard. It's hard in so many levels. It's hard emotionally, physically. So for us to have these students that are trying to do their best, and they're trying so hard to do their best, but they are coming to school hungry or stressed out. And like you were mentioning, the struggles that you saw your mother going through every day. It just makes me so grateful that there is a CIS site coordinator out there that many students can go to.
Exactly.
And receive that help. And not just the students, but also their families. And that we can come in and to help make things a little bit better. And we don't come in with a magic wand and just like throw band-aids on everything. We come in and try to empower the students and their families, and then connect them to those resources so that they are not having all of these barriers to overcome. And so one of the things that I'm really curious to hear, based on your experience and this amazing woman that you have become, if you were to meet your younger self, what advice would you give to her?
Yes. So if I could tell my younger self something, I would tell myself to be the change. I think that when you're younger, you want to conform to what other people think that you should be. I didn't really choose the traditional route when it came to going to like a four-year institution and then going. And, you know, I took a different route, but I found myself finding more success doing things the way that I wanted to. I started off at a community college, but it wasn't something that was really working for me. And I knew that I was like, I really want to do something that's more intense. Like, I got to get in there. So I started working in the workforce. Like, I like to just hop in. And then, you know, now I'm back at working in entertainment business. And so it's just cool to see how the skills that I've learned in the workforce have applied to me in my education. And so I just say, take control of who you are. Do the way that you want to do it. It's not about society. It's not about what your family says. It's about what you want. And you can find your own success if you work hard.
Yeah. And I think that's such great advice, because everyone's future just looks so different. And I know that for myself, and I think that you'll agree, that you find the most fulfillment and happiness if you find your own path.
Right, right.
Yeah, which is so great. And I think that's something that people of any age, whether you are a student listening to this podcast on your phone, or you are a teacher or a social worker, or even someone who is about to retire, and you're not sure what to do with your time after retirement, don't do what someone else thinks you should do. Do what you think will make you happy, because that is ultimately what's going to bring you success.
Right. I completely agree. Like I just feel like all of the experiences, I mean, I feel like I'm growing and I'm growing even more and so many new doors are opening and it's just, it all started with CIS. You know what I mean? It's just like, it all brings you back. Like it all started here and this is where I'm going and it's still happening. You know, I just turned 21, so there's a lot more to my story and I'm excited to see what kind of doors will open in the future.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Because your birthday was last month.
A month August from like 19th, today. Right? It was a month. Yeah.
Happy belated birthday.
Thanks.
But yeah, you're just 21. You've already done so many things in life and I'm so excited to see what you do in the future. So we will have to have you on again to talk about whatever new projects you're getting into.
I am so down for that.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and then we are going to shift gears and ask you a couple of extra credit questions. Stay tuned. Okay, Macy, are you ready for some extra credits?
I'm ready.
Okay, ready? On a scale of 1 to 10, how weird would you say that you are?
11.
Like 10, 10's being the weirdest, so you're above a 10.
I'm definitely above a 10. I'm very weird. Very, very weird.
And what makes you say that?
I ask really weird questions. I mean, I think, what was it the other day? I was thinking about why don't we just bury people in outer space?
Like, you know, like that would save
so much room. Yeah. I was like, that could save so much room. And I'm like, I just ask, I say weird things and I ask weird questions.
I love that though. I mean, that gets people thinking.
Right.
Well, why don't we shoot people off into space? I mean, well, okay, probably because there are people who like to go to the gravesite and you know, visit their people who've passed away and say their goodbyes and such. But you make a really good point. I mean, it would save a lot of space, but still, that's hilarious. Okay, so next question. What is your favorite song to sing in the car?
Oh, right now, it's got to be Drake and My Feelings. Anytime that song comes on, I'm like screaming, Kiki! I can't. Like, it's my favorite thing to drive. Like, you know, I'm on my way to work and that's the song of the day.
So this is Victoria interrupting again to let you know that unfortunately this is a place where our audio quality was just not up to par, so much so that we had to cut out an entire portion of this part of the conversation that I had with Macy, which was really unfortunate because I actually asked her right here what she would do if a penguin walked in to her house where she was recording at wearing a sombrero and what it would say and what was it doing there. And it was pretty hilarious. I found out that she's actually a 12 on the weird scale because she doesn't like burritos, which is really weird to me. But yeah, that was what you missed, and I apologize again, but I thought I would just interrupt and let you guys know. So back to our regularly scheduled program. Okay, I want to thank Macy one more time for joining us on today's episode. For more information on communities and schools of Mid-America, please check out our website at cismidamerica.org. You can also find us on social media at cismidamerica. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge, and until next time, class is dismissed.